Hey, Tacoma, what's up? John Doherty here for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, always respectfully and from time to time, even optimistically. In our ongoing struggle to create a livable future, regulation plays an important part. There's a thing known as market failure, where the market cannot manage pollution on its own. The main reason, because it's cheaper to run a business and pollute than it is to run a business and not pollute. If a business is on Commencement Bay, for instance, it's cheaper to dump the effluent in the bay than it is to manage it responsibly. Therefore, the need for regulation. One form of regulation that we don't think of much, but which is exceedingly important, is the area of building codes. Jurisdictions adopt standards that are the minimum required for things like building homes that people are going to live in. Those codes, like everything else, have evolved over the years. One of the new areas of interest for codes was safety. Things like stair railings and how far apart railings could be, making sure that contaminated water doesn't get into plumbing, things like that. We're in the early stages of codes paying attention to climate change, things like requiring homes to be pre-wired for an electric vehicle, charging station, or prohibiting methane into new home construction. And as always, there have been what I would call good business citizens who do much more in terms of quality, safety, environment than is required by the codes. We're going to be talking today to Jared Martin, who is the owner of just such a company, Urban Northwest Homes in Vancouver, Washington. Jared is going to fill us in on some of the ramifications of codes, what being responsible environmentally has meant to him and his business model, and what he sees coming down the road in the future in terms of codes related to the environment and climate change. So here we go with our conversation with Jared Martin of Urban Northwest Homes. We're really delighted to have Jared Martin with us. He's the owner of Northwest Urban Homes down in Vancouver, Washington. Welcome, Jared. Thanks for joining.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me. One little quick point of clarification. It's Urban Northwest Homes down here in Vancouver, Washington.
So what did I say?
Northwest Urban Homes.
Okay.
Urban Northwest Homes. I get it all the time. All the time.
Yeah. Well, that's a good advertising gimmick, actually, because sometimes people put mistakes in advertising just to draw attention to it. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
And by the way, we will have a link to your website in the show notes that our listeners can reference after the fact if they want to, too. So, well, let's just start off quickly who you are, how you got in the residential construction business, and how you got interested in sustainability and carbon footprint and those kind of things as a builder.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a good question. I get asked that a lot. You know, how did you become interested? And really, I'm the son of a general contractor. I grew up in Idaho and moved out to Southwest Washington in 1999. I didn't grow up doing a lot of construction, but a lot of watching and being around construction, but a fair amount to, you know, to be dangerous. So started remodeling and doing some house flips in the early 2000s. And then I met my former business partner. He bought a piece of property that was adjacent to a piece of property that I bought. And he is a developer by trade. We became friends first. We had similar interests with building, developing, and then it turned into energy efficiency talks, just green building, you know, talks. And then the crash of 2008 happened. He had a whole bunch of property and needed to figure out how to sell lots, essentially. And we shared common interests, so we started Urban Northwest Homes in 2008. I have since bought him out. His focus and his passion is really developing. Well, it's green building also, but I've since bought him out, and, you know, off we go as we are currently at Urban Northwest Homes.
Yeah, cool.
I've always had an interest to do things better. You know, there's a way to do it, which is basically a code standard. And then there's an above code standard, you know, doing things better, possibly with the same amount of effort and for the same amount of costs. So that was kind of piqued my interest to start. My wife is a biologist, so she's always been interested in sustainability and, you know, green building and preservation and, you know, protecting habitats and such. So we have some interesting conversation at home, building and biology and, you know, kind of where do the how do the two fit together? So
yeah, it sounds like there could be a little aspect of happy wife, happy life in there too.
So, you bet.
So one of the things that I want to talk about to some extent is codes, but before we go there, I'm going to do a quote off your website here, and I'm going to ask you the question about, is this a viable business model? Somewhat of a rhetorical question, but the quote is, the average 2,000 square foot home requires over 2 acres of forest, generates 8,000 pounds of waste. Our homes are built, your homes, to reduce carbon footprint by reducing timber waste and packaging that ends up in landfills. So, is that a viable business model? I mean, you're competing with people who do not hold those values, I would think. So how does that work?
Yeah, it absolutely is a viable business model. And it starts with advanced framing techniques. So, using less wood, less lumber to construct the same home. And it's even to the simplest principle of, instead of framing walls on 16-inch center, said framing, you frame on a 2-foot on center layout. So that's really using less wood in a home is very simple to do, especially with the engineering requirements. I mean, all of our homes are engineered to a very high standard. They're really looked at and scrutinized by our building officials and making sure that all the math works. And it's, it basically starts with that simple concept. Let's use less lumber to produce the same desired outcome. And then getting into, recycling, using materials with high recycled content, things like that. Just, even if it's just the simplest, looking at a brand of carpet and choosing one that's got higher recycled content as opposed to, something that doesn't. So, it's very simple to do if you take the time to look into, what you're doing.
Yeah. So when it comes time to sell a home, do you find that these kind of sustainable or green concepts are attractive to potential buyers, or people don't care or notice, or what?
Yeah, I get asked that question all the time. And I would say our buyers look at, your kitchen countertops. That's really what their main focus is. They'll come to, I say that, but there is a lot of truth to that. They want to be able to touch and feel and see, nice finishes.
Yeah.
And really our effort is put into what's behind the scenes in those finishes, or what's behind the walls. So we really have to educate not only our home buyers, but the real estate industry, the home appraisal industry. So we've put a lot of time and effort since 2008 doing classes and trainings and, trying to get people to understand what makes our homes and our effort more valuable. And, not just to the current buyer, but to buyers in the future of that same home. So to the majority, to answer your question, the majority of people look at location, finishes, things like that. A smaller percentage comes to us just because of what we do.
Yeah.
But we find that everybody, once you start talking about the benefits of a green, above code built, high performing home, everybody's interested in it. You just have to educate people, about what you're doing and why it's important.
Yeah. So it seems like there's an aspect in your business of being a good citizen that goes possibly beyond just a pure profit motive. So, and your education concept seems really powerful too, that people can understand better what value your homes are bringing to them that they might not notice otherwise. So there's an organization, I believe I saw this reference on your website, National Green Building Standard. What's the National Green Building Standard, and how's that impact builders?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, John, because that is usually the first thing that I talk about with all of our clients, all of our trades, when we're doing education piece. The National Green Building Standard is something that I hold near and dear to what I do, because it's a third-party certification and verification scoring tool, certification process, if you will, where we hire outside entities to come in make sure that we are doing what we say we're doing and what's important to us. So it's a third-party verified, green building, green scoring program. It focuses on lot development, materials, energy, water, indoor pollutants, so indoor air quality, and then there's a big focus on homeowner education and maintenance as well. And what the NGBS does is it looks at all of those holistically. So it doesn't focus on just energy per se. It focuses on all of those topics. And in order to get a higher score within the NGBS, you have to score higher in every one of those components that I mentioned. So really real holistic approach to green building, and not just building, but the homeowner education piece is very important. And then, I don't tell people how good the home is for them or how well it performs. A third party verifier does that. So that's really a very important piece to that NGBS scoring tool.
So my understanding then is that this is that builders volunteer to participate, get certified or scored, as you referred to it. There's no requirement on any builder anywhere regarding that standard.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a voluntary process. And one of the things that makes it attractive to me is it's probably the most stringent green building certification process that's out there that I've seen. We all know LEED. LEED's been around for a long time, but that primarily focuses on commercial buildings. And the NGBS has more of a residential focus or a mixed use focus. So, LEED does, I won't get too far into LEED, but LEED does focus on some of the things that I mentioned, but it doesn't focus on all of the things that I mentioned.
Understood.
So there are other green verifications out there. Washington State has several. But the National Green Building Standard, you can use that same standard no matter what state you're in. So if you're moving from Washington to Texas, an NGBS verified home is going to be very similar no matter what state you're building in. Yeah. So
my guess is that you talk with other builders in your area down there, and if that's the case, do any of them ever think you're crazy with your business model and focusing on sustainability and carbon footprint and so on?
I'll tell you, before the 2018 Washington energy codes were put into effect in Washington State, we would get that all the time. Why put the effort into it? What are you doing? And we've had conversations with local kind of municipalities, if you will, different cities, counties, just different jurisdictions that deal with building and building codes, and we've told them how important building a higher performing green home is, because it requires less demand on the infrastructure. So sewer, water, power, things like that. Cities can grow without having to update their their current infrastructure or update as much. So
yeah, excellent point. So you've made a few references to codes, and I got to say that for myself, and I think for a lot of let's call ourselves civilians, codes are pretty obscure. If you look at the code books, they really are obscure to the lay person. So could you give just a high level overview of how codes work, where they come from, and that kind of thing?
Yeah. And I'm not a code expert. I'm not involved with writing building code. I am involved with the National Green Building Standard on a consensus committee that does look at green building code, for the National Green Building Standard. But as far as, the IRC, our international codes, I'm not involved with that. So I tell people all the time that, kind of make a joke of it, but code is basically the bare minimum that you can do, in our industry without, being thrown in jail. it's really a very basic standard if you look at it.
Okay.
And, I appreciate it. We do, we talk a lot about code in our industry, but that's really the very bare minimum, standard. So there are code cycles, every 3 years, the building code is looked at, updated. COVID kind of, I think, slowed some things down a little bit. But our newest code cycle is we're currently using the 2018 building code and energy code. That's kind of, my experience with code is you need to use it. You should know it, have a basic understanding. But as far as writing and developing, other people, other entities, state building code councils and other groups have more say than, me as a builder.
So would you say that codes are an effective way of reducing carbon footprint or not?
The newest adoption of the Washington State Energy Code really does a good job at, reducing, builders like me, well, all builders, all residential home building in Washington State. It does force, if you will, a reduction in carbon footprint. The new energy code is pretty stringent. And like I said before, before this 2018 code adoption, other builders, in Southwest Washington that I talked to, they thought that we were a little bit crazy for building above code and building to an efficiency and lowering our carbon footprint, but now they're forced to. So I've done some trainings with my competitors down here in our industry to help them understand the new energy code and not necessarily why, because there's a lot of pushback and it's because of monetary investments. It just costs costs a little bit more to build to a higher standard, and the new energy code is a higher standard. So
I'm just curious, doing some trainings to folks are kind of builders that are catching up. Do you charge them for that, or is this a community service?
It's a community service, John. it's in conjunction with our local building industry association. So before COVID shut it down, there was a green building council that I was the chair of. And, we invited other builders, other industry professionals in our local area just to work on green building in Southwest Washington. There's also a Portland, Oregon chapter that I was a part of also that, a little bit different mentality crossing the river, but still a similar concepts, similar interests. But through our local building industry association, some talks, some trainings, with just, other folks in our industry that they started off really not having a clue.
Yeah.
Because they were, code level builders. And now this new energy code has forced them to have a look and take a look at not just the code, but their own building practice.
Yeah. So just as a point of interest, there are a number of different industries where leaders in those industries in terms of sustainability and carbon footprint they've been scoffed at a bit up front, but as things have evolved, their business model has turned out to be actually financially advantageous too, while their competitors are catching up. I mean, ocean shipping is an example of that I'm aware of, that the leaders in cleaning up their fossil fuel footprint have ended up ahead of the pack just because of that. So I think you've made a reference to this a few times, that the code is just the bare minimum. And so clearly I think that builders who are willing to provide a product that's superior to the code, probably that's a good business model. So
you have to talk about it. I mean, really everybody that we talk to has an interest, whether it be reducing their carbon footprint or lowering their energy bills, or recycling, reclaimed products, things like that. So it really is a good viable business model, and I encourage every residential home builder to take a look at what they're doing and how that affects our surroundings.
So when it comes time to revise the codes, who are the players? Who are the folks that have got a finger in that pie?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know that the state code councils, have members. I'm not sure exactly how the, who comprises those councils. But I know that, our local, building industry officials and state BIAW officials. We do have a lot of say through those two organizations, and you know, there often is a lot of pushback with you know, in those organizations with any code update, because it's really it's a monetary hit, I think, you know, number one, typically. You know, we're trying to protect our industry, and I think a lot of people like to kind of keep it the same and not push the envelope, you know, too far. But there's, you know, certainly the EPA has a big, you know, influence in codes. Department of Energy has a big influence in codes. You know, folks like that, you know, on a national level, certainly, but in more local levels, you know, our state governments and the code councils probably have the biggest say.
So would you say, just broad brush strokes, that there's kind of a bifurcation? We've got organizations like the EPA or governmental environmental organizations on the one hand, and then you have the industry on the one hand, that they're making proposals for new code. And on the other hand, you've got the industry, and the industry is kind of not going to be happy with revisions for the most part. Would that be a fair overview?
Yeah, I would agree with that. There's kind of some conflicting interests. So, you know, I think folks kind of in general would, from each side, would, you know, tend to butt heads a little bit. So,
well, I guess maybe that's the American way. So, are codes ever retroactive? Like, for instance, I'm up here in Pierce County in Tacoma, and we're moving towards code and new construction that there's not going to be, well, for instance, that there's going to be wiring for electric vehicle charging points in new construction. So are codes ever retroactive? Do codes ever come out and say, you know, an existing structure has to be revised?
Yeah, I think that's part of that, you know, that 3-year process of adopting a new code. Certainly in Pierce County, since it sounds more like a local type of interest, local requirement. It's not part of the international code right now. So I don't know for sure, John, but I have to believe that, you know, if you put something into code and it turns out it doesn't work or it becomes obsolete, then we're certainly going to revise and make them, you know, them better.
Yeah.
You know, and part of Washington State's focus, and I just saw something that was interesting the other day, and I'm not going to be able to quote the site, but Washington State is becoming a destination state for folks. And one of the main factors in moving to Washington State, you know, per this poll, was Washington's commitment to reducing its carbon footprint. Hmm. And I thought that was fascinating. I never heard anything like that before. And again, I wish I could quote the source. I can't remember. I'll have to look that up. But I found that fascinating, that, you know, people were interested in that and they're moving to Washington State because of Washington State's commitment to reducing the carbon footprint.
Yeah, I haven't heard that particular factoid, but I do find it believable. I mean, I've gone pretty much zero footprint on my own home. I've got solar. I don't have any gas appliances anymore. I have an electric vehicle and stuff like that. And before I did this stuff, I talked to my real estate agent, a woman who I've known for many years and who I have a high degree of respect for, because I thought, you know, is this going to hurt the value of my home, or what's the deal? And she said, oh, no, there's a great market for people who are looking for green homes. So that's just my own anecdotal version of it. But, you know, it kind of points to the fact there are a lot of good people out there that are concerned about the environment and the future for our grandkids and stuff like that. So,
yeah, well, you know, kudos to you for making that commitment to your own home. We've built several homes for people who have downsized, retirees and such, that have put full solar arrays and electrical vehicle chargers, like you said, have omitted gas burning appliances and such. And they may not realize the ROI on, you know, what they've done, but certainly the next owner of that home will, and the homeowner after that will. And if, you know, if we're building homes to last 100 years, you know, who knows how many homeowners will benefit from that commitment, you know, the similar commitment that you made.
Yeah, well, that's a totally accurate point. So I'm 78 years old, and there's about a 13-year payback time for the solar that I put on my roof. And so, of course, when that payback is done, then all the electricity I produce is basically money in my pocket. But but the people who buy the house, when this house gets sold, they're the ones that are really going to benefit from it. So I say, okay, you're welcome, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and really, what we do, John, is we, you know, energy is just a small portion of it. You know, so the other benefits, and really the primary benefit, is health. You know, if you're building a high performing, you know, green home above code, then there are components inside the house that, you know, they're known to make you sick or known to be cancer causing. So, you know, the health benefits that a high performing green built, you know, above code house provides, you can't even quantify that. We know there are health benefits. You know, it's worth a lot.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's one of the challenges that I think we face as a species is, you know, you made reference to the fact that, well, if the finishes are nice, then people are probably, and they like the location, they're probably going to like the house. We, as a species, we need to learn to dig in more deeply and understand the nuances of what we're talking about. And the health thing is a really important issue, the way I understand it. I mean, I'm not really knowledgeable in the area, but I have heard that a lot of interior inside air quality is really not healthy. And so what I'm hearing you say is that you guys are paying a lot of attention to that.
Yeah, we do. And the, you know, the new car smell that we all know and, you know, love, aspire to have, there are 90 known carcinogens within that new car smell. Yeah. So, you know, you often in a new home, there is definitely a smell associated with that. And our goal is not to have a new home smell. We don't want any smell in our homes. And another thing that relates to indoor air quality is just, you know, burning of natural gas, or just burning of anything. So omitting burning, you know, appliances and, you know, furnaces are typically outside of the envelope. So although putting them in a conditioned space is very good, but they're often, you know, they bring in their own fresh air. There's,
right.
They burn and then they exhaust. So you don't necessarily bring that in unless it's leaky. So if you have, you know, a leaky system, then there may be higher amounts of carbon dioxide, you know, within the home that you're breathing all the time. We know that's not a good thing. So really our new energy code has focused on, you know, burning of fossil fuels essentially, and gives a lot of credits for electric and heat pumps and heat pump hot water heaters and such. So many, many builders have been, you know, really trying to figure out how they're going to meet all of the new credits, and our buyers are not necessarily thrilled about not having an on-demand gas hot water heater. And they have a tank heat pump version, a lot of them, most of them.
Yeah.
And a lot of our buyers don't necessarily understand that, you know, heat pumps do perform in more extreme weather. And, you know, you can be quite comfortable and very efficient getting your air conditioning, heating within your home with heat pumps. So,
Well, the health issue is one that is exceedingly important, both at the macro and the micro level, but it is under the radar a lot. And so there's learnings once again for the public to do. I've recently within the last couple of years, became aware of the health hazards of cooking on gas in the house. And, you know, historically, I love cooking on gas. I thought, well, that's the only way to go. But I've recently shifted to an induction stove, and I am so thrilled with that stove. I mean, it does everything that gas stove ever would have done, and does it in an environmentally happy way. And also because up here in Tacoma, we have hydropower, so I know the electricity I'm running through there is nice, clean electricity too. So yeah, the health is something that we need to be paying more attention to as a nation and as a world, really.
Yeah, agreed. And again, that's tough to quantify, but COVID has made a lot of people realize that, you know, their health is extremely important.
Right, yeah.
Without that, you don't have much or anything. So people are focused on what type of air am I breathing inside my house? Or if virus does come into my house, are we doing a good job filtering and helping to eliminate, you know, airborne pathogens and such? So It has become a major focus just from that standpoint. But prior to that, it was about carbon dioxide and burning of fuels inside, you know, your home and making yourself sick.
Yep. Well, we're getting close to the end here, Jared. Anything else that I haven't thought to ask you about that you would like to put out for our listeners?
I would just like to stress the importance of building above code homes. It's very easy to do. I would suggest that, you know, everybody take a look at finding a builder in your area that, you know, really focuses on their craft and doesn't focus on just, you know, the finishes per se, but, you know, focuses on what's behind the walls, what's in the air, and how much power is the home consuming, and how does that benefit, you know, not just them, but bigger picture, benefit their community as well. So the National Green Building Standard is a great resource. It's a great tool. I would encourage more builders to use that and homeowners to do some research and home buyers to do some research and find out what's in that. And then one thing we didn't mention is, WSU, Washington State University, has a big part of energy codes. And I'd encourage people to go to their website. I had it up. I was going to quote it. It's energy.wsu.edu. So if people jump on that, there's a whole bunch of information that people can read and do their research as far as, you know, our new energy codes, and, you know, how builders right now are using the new, you know, the new code requirements in their homes they're building.
Yep. Well, thank you. And I'll put that link in the show notes too, so folks can take a look at that. Sounds like a great resource. And I guess I would like to finish up, Jared, just by saying how much I appreciate the energy that you're bringing to making sustainable and environmentally friendly homes. And one of my takeaways from this too was that this really is a viable business model, that you're a leader, and that being out front in a wise kind of way pays dividends over time. So thanks so much for being with us, and thanks so much for being a good citizen.
Yeah, thanks, John. I really appreciate it.
So it was great talking with Jared Martin. The legislature is in session, and the legislature has an impact on building codes, so we have the ability to influence legislation with our comments. For instance, there's a House Bill 1770. It's an effort that, if it becomes law, will have a strong impact on helping us along the way here in Washington State to a net zero carbon pollution future. So an opportunity to let your legislators know your point of view on this important issue. There are other bills related to codes. Check them out. Let your legislators know what you think. I've dropped a link to Urban Northwest Homes in the notes page for this show. You can find those notes at ccltacoma.org. And I'd love to hear from you about this or any other show, or with ideas for future shows. You can contact me at John, J-O-H-N, at ccltacoma.org. The CCL part is for Citizens Climate Lobby. It's a good outfit, good people. Check it out. Join in. If that's not your cup of tea, find one that is and be active. Also, a reminder that this show, like all other locally produced KTAH programs, is available on the KTAH website. Just do an internet search, find programming on the page, and you'll find the archives there. So that's it. Once again, here I am reminding you, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care now.